Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It is Thursday, May 14th, 2015. Beautiful day here in Clearwater, Florida. And today we're going to be talking about something a little different than we usually talk about. This show started with an email that I got because I'm on this, my guest list. And she was talking about her views about, well, maybe you've seen around in social media in the last few weeks or month or so, there's been a lot of criticism of an activist known as the Food Babe. And the people who are criticizing her about sensationalism and does she know anything about science and things like that. And my guest wrote a very interesting commentary about that, so much so that I asked her to be on the show so that we could talk about this. And she got so many comments from writing this email and sending it to her list that she ended up giving a class about this very subject. My guest today is Laura Adler. She's an environmental toxins expert and certified holistic health coach. And I'm very happy that we're going to be talking about this. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Deborah. Thanks for having me back on. I'm excited to talk about this stuff with you.
Yes, yes. I should say that Laura has been on before. We talked about obesogens, and she gives classes and trainings and things for health coaches. So she's not working with consumers directly. She's working with coaches who are then working with clients. And I'm very happy to see what she's teaching coaches to do with their clients, because we certainly need more professionals who are aware of what the toxic chemicals are and how they affect our bodies. So instead of me giving the story, Laura, why don't you tell the story of what you said?
Sure. And it's funny because this is one, you know, the email that I wrote was for sure one of those ones where I just, you know, I think I wrote it in about 5 or 6 minutes. Like, I was just kind of a little fired up about it. And so I don't actually even remember all of what it said. But basically, you know, like you said, there's all of this buzz going around about Tuesday. And at the moment, she's actually not the only person who's in the spotlight in this realm. Dr. Oz is also in the spotlight for making, yeah, you know, sensational or outrageous comments, and he's actually somebody who's very heavily credentialed. And so, you know, there's just a lot of, I don't think swearing is allowed here, I'm not sure, I don't know, but, you know, Gawker, the online magazine Gawker, published an article that the subject of which said, or the title of which, this food blogger, Food Babe, is full of S-H-I-T. And yeah, I thought that was pretty harsh and unkind. I don't imagine you or I would appreciate having anything written about us with that subject line. Really unnecessary. But, you know, it just got me looking at what are the criticisms that are being made about her and her approach. And for those, you know, for your listeners maybe who don't know who she is, she's a food activist who really looks at chemicals and ingredients that are in foods that shouldn't be there. And her primary goal is actually transparency and truth in labeling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot about her approach that I don't like, but I don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. And so this is sort of why I felt like a bigger conversation should be had here about this. But essentially, I feel that in many cases, the very sensational approach that she takes, where she certainly has been guilty of making pretty blanket statements and a lot of inaccurate statements.
Yes.
Statements like all chemicals are bad.
Right.
And we can talk about whether or not that's true if we want. But and what I've found is that that sensational approach tends to turn a lot of people off. And mm-hmm. they just get a really bad taste in their mouth. And then anybody else who attempts to have, whether it's a measured, fact-based conversation about it, is automatically going to be associated with that sort of sensational, fear-mongery kind of vibe, and they're just going to get dismissed. So it does make it harder for those people who are trying to have the conversation in a very serious and measured tone. It makes it harder for us to be able to do that when they're going to go, oh, so you're kind of like Food Babe, right?
And, well, yes, it, yeah. I think that it's unfortunate, but this is the way the world is today. I mean, what is happening is that, you know, there's media and, yeah. and newspapers, and especially newspapers, the history of newspapers is that they sell from sensationalism.
Yeah.
And so, if one wants to be in the media, if one wants to get attention, one needs to be sensational in order to get yeah. that attention. I mean, I could send out something that says something in a very measured tone and everybody yawns, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
and people are sending out scientific information all the time that doesn't get reported in the news. But then Food Babe comes along and she does something sensational, and she's a babe, not a scientist. And, there are other sensational people on the internet who I won't name particularly because we're talking about Food Babe here. But, but it's the same approach, and that they are wanting to make this sensational point. And I think that they get attention, and that I think that Food Babe has done a lot to make people aware that there are things in our food that shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
But she's gotten that attention, and the information isn't always correct. And that's what I find with the people who take a sensational approach, is the information isn't always correct. And on other sites, not Food Babes, but on other sites, I see sensational things, and they give sources, and the sources aren't even correct. I go and click through on their sources, yep. and they're not even correct. The information just isn't there. And
yeah.
And so I think that in a world where it's so critical for us to be having this information and having people understand the truth about toxic chemicals, that it's really a disservice for people to sensationally put out wrong information.
Yeah, and you know what I think is interesting, and I spoke about this in the class that I taught the other day. Like you said in the intro, I was so fired up about this, I decided to teach a class to my audience about this. And, you know, what I think is that it's a for better and worse. So there certainly are benefits to
this. Yes, 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 yes.
And the benefit is people are talking about it, for better or for worse. We're
right.
talking about it, right?
Right.
This is us having a conversation because of something that she did. And
right.
and that for sure has a tremendous amount of benefit. It also, you know, it plants a seed of thought in people's minds, you know, and that allows for us as a sort of springboard into conversation, which is great. But like I said, the downside is a lot of people are turned off by that, and they're going to jump on any opportunity that they can to attack somebody like her. And the reality is, you know, this has been going on for centuries. This is not a new tactic to discredit people. You know, in the class that I taught the other day, I was talking about, you know, Rachel Carson, the mother of the environmental movement, was attacked. Her sanity was attacked, and she was attacked because her credentials, her research was attacked because they said, her attackers said she couldn't possibly understand the complex science around pesticides because she was a woman.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
So this has been going, like, this is not new information. And, you know, what's interesting to me, and this is where I really got rubbed the wrong way, where it's not about Food Babe, but it's about, like you said, this sort of climate that we're having this conversation in. Is that, you know, even people that are heavily credentialed and have dedicated their lives to doing academic scientific research are also attacked in these ways. We have Tyrone Hayes. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Tyrone Hayes and his research, but he's a research scientist who's been studying the effect of the herbicide atrazine on mm-hmm. the sexual development of frogs and the potential effect on human health. And, you know, there's been a tremendous, Syngenta, the company that manufactures that pesticide, went to extraordinary lengths to attack him and his credibility, including taking out an ad. When you Google Tyrone Hayes' name, the first thing that comes up is an ad that was paid for, a Google keyword, excuse me, that was paid
yeah.
for by Syngenta that says Tyrone Hayes is not credible. And so this, it doesn't matter whether she's a scientist or not. People are still getting attacked for having this conversation, which is
right.
an interesting point.
That is interesting in and of itself. We need to go to break, but when we come back, we'll talk about this more. My guest, you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Laura Adler, and we're talking about, are toxic dangers internet hype or a genuine health crisis? We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Laura Adler. She's an environmental toxins expert and certified holistic health coach. Her website is lauraadler.com. And we're talking about sensationalism and truth in talking about toxics in the media. And Laura, in the first segment, you mentioned something that is often said, which is... There are no safe chemicals?
Just the sort of blanket statements that all chemicals are bad.
Right. So let's discuss that.
Yeah, so that's a really fascinating point for me, a point of conversation. We can't make that statement. That's just an impossible statement to make for a number of reasons. The first of which is we just don't have a lot of data on a massive amount of the chemicals that are in commerce. There's just no safety testing data because our federal policy doesn't require that chemicals get tested prior to coming to market. So right. We can't make a blanket definitive statement to say that they're bad if we don't actually know anything about them. And so that's just a pretty obvious way to counter that all chemicals are bad. And the reality is, that we are chemicals. Everything is a chemical. Our skin is chemical. Our organs are chemicals. Our hormones that fuel our function, body function, it's all chemical. Right. And so, chemical as a word is neutral. It doesn't have a good or bad connotation. But at least within the realm of the food bank conversation, she has a tendency just kind of lump it into that category that if it's a chemical, that it's bad. If it's got a long name and you can't pronounce it, it must be bad for you.
That's just not a true statement. I've been studying toxic chemicals for more than 30 years and reading scientific data and looking at individual industrial chemicals and even within the set of industrial chemicals made from petroleum, even not all of those are toxic.
Yeah.
But that people take words like chemicals, they take words like plastic, they think every single plastic is bad. And
right.
That's not true. There are some plastics that are absolutely safe to use. And,
right.
But people don't know this information. They haven't studied the subject, and they pick up on some term like plastic or chemical, and then all of it's all bad.
Right. Yeah, and that, again, this goes back to, I think it's smarter to be able to have a measured conversation. People are for sure going to take you more seriously when you can actually say, you know what, those ones are fine, and there's no data that shows that there's any harm there, but these are the ones that you want to watch out for.
Right.
Rather than just saying, like, oh, my God, we have to live in a bubble. My joke around that is, people say, I'm going to live in a plastic bubble. And then I always say, like, well, what kind of plastic? What kind of plastic is your bubble made out of? Because that makes a big difference. That's a joke that very few people outside of this world that we live in would laugh at. But there you have it. So the other side of that whole, like, chemicals, all chemicals are bad thing is what happens on the other side of the argument. And this is where it just makes me a little crazy is, I always read the comments section of any news article that's posted because that gives me a lot of insight into how like regular people are thinking and responding to whatever
right.
is happening. And like I sometimes focus more on the comments section than the actual article itself. And what always happens when somebody's like, oh, you think all chemicals are bad? What about dihydrogen monoxide? If that's a chemical, that's bad for you. Well, dihydrogen monoxide is the chemical name for water.
Right.
And so it's just a common, I've seen it hundreds of times, where somebody who's trying to make a dig we'll use that as an opportunity to say, oh, you don't like chemicals, you better stay away from dihydrogen monoxide.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually a spoof website, which is pretty funny, that I stumbled across that talks about, you know, the dangerous threat of dihydrogen monoxide, the inhalation of it can kill you, you know, like drowning. And it's just, you know, it's just kind of making fun of this whole conversation. And I don't think that's a helpful climate to have this conversation in.
I totally agree. And another thing that I just want to mention about toxic chemicals with regard to this is that even if you have a chemical that is known to be toxic, like let's say dioxin, just to be extreme, where that's just known to be so toxic, but whether it's toxic to an individual or not, well, dioxin's probably toxic to everybody.
But
let's take something that's not quite so toxic. there are many chemicals that that are like have some toxicity to them, but whether or not an individual actually is poisoned by them, it depends on how much they're exposed to, how often they're exposed to it, the condition of the individual's body, et cetera. And there's a list of about 7 or 8 factors that go into whether or not you're going to be poisoned by it. And that is completely separate from the inherent toxicity of the chemical itself. And so, so it's really, really, difficult to ascertain. This is why this is such a confusing subject, is that it's difficult to ascertain, even if something is toxic, is the individual person going to be harmed by it? And so how are we, if we can't determine that, how are we going to, what's the best route? So for me, I think that the best thing to do is the precautionary principle, which is to say, if there's a question about it, don't use it. You may not be harmed by it, but if there's a question about it, if it can be identified by science that there is a harmful component to it, then I stay away from that. And then when you get to something like lead, for example, where it's known that there is no safe level, that's been established that there's no safe level, and then the government sets a safe level that is not even correct. And you know, it's just, we should be cooperating to get the correct information out in the world instead of making it more confusing.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the other thing about the effects of some of these chemicals, and this is where a lot of people, again, the people who are trying to, you know, discredit some others. I hear break music coming in. Do we need to break?
We need to break, yes. You got that right. It's the break music. So we'll go to break, and then we'll continue when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Lara Adler. She's an environmental toxins expert and certified holistic health coach. Her website is laraadler.com, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Lara Adler. She's an environmental toxics expert and certified holistic health coach, and her website is laraadler.com. Okay, Lara, go ahead and continue.
So I think the point that's important to make with a lot of these chemicals is that, and this is something that I see also in both in articles and in the comment section of articles, is that, you know, if these chemicals were so bad, why aren't more people, you know, in the hospital with, you know, X and Y adverse reactions? And, you know, I think what people don't understand is the latency period for the effect of some of these exposures can be 20 or 30 years.
Yes.
It can be extraordinarily subtle, meaning, you know, hormonal imbalance, for example, due to an excess of endocrine disruptors, that are messing with the sort of thermostat of your hormones isn't something that you end up in an emergency room with. It's something that makes you feel, you know, low-level crappy for years and years that your doctor is just kind of dismissed because it's not a big, it's not an acute symptom. And so in many cases, the implications of exposures are really subtle and they're hard to tease out. And they may not actually show themselves for 20 or 30 years. And so when people throw around the word toxic, people are automatically assuming that there's going to be an immediate and adverse reaction like skin rash or something like that. In some cases, that might be true, but in other cases, you might never know. And it's just a matter of, you know, oh, my child is having behavioral problems in school or is having a hard time learning. There might be an IQ reduction issue that, you know, that's not a symptom that you notice. That's just something that's developed, if that makes sense.
Yeah, there's two. I know what I'm about to say, you know, but I'll say this for the benefit of the listeners, is that there's actually two kinds of chemicals, that there's acute exposures and chronic exposures. And the acute reactions are, that's why we have poison control centers. And that's what people usually think of as a poisoning, is when you drink a cleaning product that's under the sink. That's why it says keep yeah. away from children, keep out of reach of children. And that the child starts choking and turning blue, and that's what people think is toxic or poisonous. And then there's a whole other class of chemicals where the response is what is chronic, which means that it's building up in your body day in and day out, and that you're being exposed to it over and over again. And your body, it actually starts accumulating in your body. And this is what's called body burden. And you can accumulate and accumulate and accumulate these chemicals for years, and then all of a sudden you get to that right amount that is poisonous to your body, and it's been accumulating, and then your body gets sick, and you get cancer, you get heart disease, or you get impotence, or whatever is your symptom. And it's because of this buildup of these chemicals that don't show themselves immediately. And so after all these years of study, the only thing that I can say is that because we now know, and it's the Centers for Disease Control that came up with this word body burden. I'm not making this up. This is, you know, science.
Yeah.
And the Centers for Disease Control actually measures the blood of Americans to find out how much of these chemicals are building up in your body. And they have tests, and you can just go to their website and see how much toxic chemicals we're all carrying around in our bodies. And
yeah, I think the most recent report, which they actually had an update to that, and it's called the National Report on Exposure to Environmental Chemicals, and the fourth report came out in 2009, and they just did an update earlier this year, and they measured something like 265 chemicals in people tested, and they didn't test for every chemical, so there's, you know, likely many, many more, but those are the
there
ones
are many, many, many
found.
More, but yes, I mean, nobody can say that. Laura, can you hear me?
Yes, I
hello?
Can.
Hello? Can anybody hear me? Brett, can you hear me? Laura, are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. All right, okay. So let's go on. So I was saying about how there are measurable results that the CDC is measuring the blood. There are toxic chemicals known to be toxic by scientific study, in the blood of everybody in America and probably in the world, and unless you have done something to lower or remove those toxic chemicals. Just walking around, living your normal life, using normal toxic consumer products, everybody has this. And sooner or later, you're going to get sick. The question is not if, the question is when. These are toxic chemicals we're all being exposed to, unless we're doing something to not be exposed to them. And yeah. This is the state of the world today. And this is why I do what I do. This is why Laura does what she does, because we have looked at the science. We know that these toxic chemicals exist. We know the health effects that happen from them. And we know that there are solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the point. And, you know, Food Babe for sure has a role in this conversation.
Yes.
You know, again, for better and for worse. And, you know, we don't always have the opportunity to cherry pick who our allies are. You know, I know that some people have distanced themselves from her, you know, because of this, all of this controversy and whatnot. And, you know, some of the people that are attacking her, and this is something that I've taught about in my class, some of the people that are attacking her are also making blanket statements that are not factual. And that's happening
yes.
on, you know, the other side of it, which just makes me crazy because I'm like, well, you're just doing what she's doing. You know that, right? And so an example of that is, you know, so the entire basis of our toxicology sort of field of research is based on the assumption that all chemicals are, everything is harmful, just depends on the dose that's given, and that the larger the dose, the more effect it's going to have, and the smaller the dose, the smaller effect it's going to have. And there, if the most part, at a certain point, if the dose is low enough, it's not going to have any effect on you. And this is known as the dose makes the poison. And it's pulled out in just about every single article that's attacking yes. Food Babe or people like her. And the truth is that that is an absolute statement that's not always true. So there's, you know, there's a whole an area of research that's looking at chemicals that don't follow that assumption.
That's right.
Again, it's an assumption. It's not fact. And, you know, they're looking at very low dose exposures, far below what traditional toxicology studies test for, and that they have a very dramatic impact at very low levels. So when I see a critical article coming out criticizing Food Babe for not knowing her science, that's making statements like, duh, the dose makes the poison, I'm going, well, gee, you're just sounding as dumb as she is.
Well, yeah, because they're not, this is the problem that I'm seeing exactly, because not that I know everything in the world, but I have been studying this for more than 30 years. And there's so many people who are writing today who, especially in the mainstream media, where they're reporters, they don't have background information.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell from things that you say that you do have background information and that you are studying. And if a reporter is assigned to write an article about, you know, the latest toxic chemical, and they don't know anything about toxicology, they're not going to put it in the right context.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of what I read, and then there's a lot of people who pick up and blog about things, and they don't know anything about it either. And I'm not saying that's true for everyone. I'm just saying that there's a lot of that out there. And I read these things, and I go, this just isn't right. And I know that because of my background. And then there are some people that also have background and that are doing a really great job. But the general public has a hard time knowing the difference because they don't have any background either.
Right. And that's, it's a challenge to try to sort that out. And it's a task that most people just don't want to take on. And what happens is, you know, like you were saying, that this sometimes the balance measured approach to their sort of scientific heady approach doesn't land for most people, right? It's not something that they're going to enjoy reading about. And so, you know, we have to, and I hate using the term dumb down, but we have to translate sometimes this really complicated subject into easy to understand language. And in some cases, it does require us to make a couple of leaps. And not sensationalize. I mean, that certainly is one way, but I think sometimes we have to make a couple of leaps, just to make it easier to read so that we don't have to give so much background information because then we'll lose our audience.
That's right. Now, so one of the things that I do when I'm writing, I come across a lot of scientific studies. And so often I will find out about them from an article in like Environmental Health News or something like that, where there's an article written that simplifies the study. And so then when I put it in my blog, then I simplify it either even further and just kind of give the basic idea of what the study is about and what the result is relevant to a consumer. And then I say, here's a simple article you can read about it, and here's the actual study.
Yeah.
And that way it gives it at different levels. And I think that that's really what is needed, because it would be extremely difficult for a consumer to read the original study and translate that into an action they can take today.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
And there's no reason why each one of us needs to go through that process. And and so I think that it's valuable for me to do that. And it's valuable for you to do that and people who do that. And I think that it's valuable for Food Babe to say, look, here's this food additive and you shouldn't eat it. And here's another thing that you can eat. And here's a recipe. All of that is really valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's just, you know, so I, you know, it's interesting. The email that I sent out, you know, that sort of shared some of my thoughts, you know, 90% of the responses that I got from 99% of the responses that I got from people were, you know what, I'm so glad that you said that. I, you know, feel that this, for us that are out there trying to educate people, you know, her approach really does it is a disservice. It makes us look, makes it harder for us to be able to have this conversation with people. But, you know, I also got a couple of people who messaged me some pretty nasty emails saying, you know, you shouldn't hate on her and, you know, I can't believe you. And I said, you know, okay, that's okay. That's going to happen. And I'm not here to, and nor is Food Babe, to please anyone. And, you know, she did a really interesting interview with Sean Croxton a couple of months ago where they talked about, you know, her being attacked. And she was like, look, I never anticipated in my life being in this position, but the reality is, like, people need to know about this stuff. And, you know, a lot of people that are attacking her are on the industry side of the conversation. Right. And that's always going to be the case. You know, when Dr. Oz, you know, made his statement on his TV show about the people that, you know, were petitioning to get him removed from the head of, you know, Columbia or wherever it is that he's teaching, you know, and he did a little sort of expose on some of those people and their ties to industry and to the, you know, GMO and Monsanto and that whole thing. Like, that's part of, it's a little bit of part of what we sign up for, unfortunately, when yes. we step into this realm. And I think that, you know, it is what it is. I think Food Babe handled it fairly well. You know, and at the end of the day, you know, I feel really bad for her because no human being wants to be in that situation where you've got, you know, millions of people calling you names and saying that you're stupid and all of that. I don't think she's stupid. She doesn't have a science degree or a chemistry degree or a toxicology degree, but you know what? Neither do I.
And neither do I.
Yeah, and completely self-taught in this area. And I think that, you know, what she has to share is totally valid. What I think she could benefit from or that her audience could benefit from is just a slight shift in approach. Even if it's just like you said, I mean, I know she does, you know, she does apparently have a staff of scientists and advisors that review her material before she releases it to make sure that there's not inaccuracies, but I don't know if they're doing a very good job. Because, you know, making statements like all chemicals are bad and those kinds of things aren't helping her cause or ours.
Yeah, and one of the statements that you put in your email was that she says things like, there is just no acceptable level of any chemical to ingest ever.
Yeah.
Well, that's just not sure. a true statement. That's just not
yeah,
a true statement.
Yeah, it's not a true statement. And there's plenty of other examples of things that she said that aren't true. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not infallible. You're not infallible. She's,
right.
Like, we're human beings. We make mistakes. We say wrong things. You know, the hope is that we'll correct them because we're in a position where we're speaking to a large amount of people, and that sort of puts a certain level of responsibility that we have. But at the end of the day, we all make mistakes. It's just how we mm-hmm. respond to them that I think mm-hmm. makes a big difference.
I would love it for her to be a little more educated and know what are the messages. What are the truthful messages to put out and use those messages instead?
Yeah, agreed. But, you
yeah.
know, like I said, it's elevating this conversation. You and I are talking about this.
Right.
So, you know, if that was her goal, is to get people talking about it, then I understand that by any means necessary approach.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if this is what I meant by, you know, I don't really want to throw away the baby with the bathwater because there is some benefit to having this conversation. I just don't like the aftertaste that it leaves for a lot of people. And I just wish that we could move to a, like I always say, like a more measured version of this conversation. Look, here are the things that are bad and that we need to look out for. Here's how they're bad. They may not be bad for everyone. Here are the populations that they're going to be the worst for. Those populations, please listen up. Here's what you want to do. Everybody else, here's what you should do. And here are the things that we don't need to worry about, because we don't want to be crazy people out in the world wearing face masks and gloves and not going in our cars because our dashboards are, you know, releasing toxic chemicals. We want to be able to have a normal life.
So that's exactly right. And we can. Yeah. You and I know we can.
Yeah.
And, you know, it isn't even about avoiding every single toxic danger, but about knowing where they are and what they are and being able to choose wisely. And we only have a few minutes left of the show. The title of this show is Are Toxic Dangers Internet Hype or a Genuine Health Crisis, named after your class. And so I just want to make sure that we just talk about that for a few minutes.
Yeah, sure. Meaning the class that I teach?
No, meaning are toxic dangers internet hype, or are they a genuine health crisis?
You know, I actually think that they're a little bit of both. So, what I said in my class was that it certainly feels like hype because of the climate of the conversation, but unfortunately, the bulk of it is not. It is a genuine health crisis. You wouldn't be doing this, you know, have done all of this research and this work for 30 years if it wasn't a legitimate issue. There wouldn't be thousands of scientists all over the world researching the low-dose exposures to endocrine-disrupting chemicals and the implications if it wasn't a real, genuine health crisis. The CDC wouldn't be monitoring the levels of chemicals in people's bodies if it wasn't a genuine health crisis. So hands down, yeah, it's a big issue. It's a big issue when we see disease rates skyrocketing, when we see things like autism and learning disabilities and behavioral problems in children, cancers and leukemias in children. Like, this is not okay. And these diseases and these conditions are changing or increasing at levels that scientists are saying cannot at all be associated with genetics, that there's something environmental going on. And so I would say absolutely hands down it's something that we all need to be aware of, and that it is a genuine threat to our health and our survival as a species, not to get, you know, sensational about it, but that's honestly what's happening.
But that is honestly, I mean, that's not sensational. That's the truth.
I mean, when fertility rates are dropping, that certainly impacts the species.
It certainly does. It certainly does. And it's just, I mean, when we look at, like, the world is so different. I'm going to be 60 years old in June. And I know I don't look it or sound it, but I've been doing this work since I was 24. And I got sick from toxic chemical exposure in my early 20s. How different people's health is from when I was a child to nowadays, like, you can just look and see in that short period of time that people are getting major illnesses at earlier and earlier ages, and children are having illnesses that they never had before. And it's just, we can see it with our own eyes if you have that spectrum of viewpoint. And it has to be due to something. And then you can go and look at all these studies of these chemicals that we're using, and you can go look and find out where are those chemicals in consumer products, and you see the association. You just see the association if you're looking. It's there. It's there. Yeah. I think there is internet hype about it, but it is a genuine health crisis.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Laura, thank you so much. We have less than a minute left of the show, so I just want to thank you so much for speaking out about this so that we could have this show today. And I think that it's really important for there to be a lot more education so that the general public understands and can tell the difference, so that everybody knows what's going on. And I think that you're doing a great job educating your segment of the populations, of your coaches, so that they can go out and be helping more people. So thank you
absolutely.
So much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me back.
You're welcome. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. Be well.